Good morning, beloved. Today is Monday, February the 3rd, 2020, and we are here to seek God's face and to know his heart. Amen and amen. Well, I am excited to be here live for another Closet Conversations with Cody. And we have an exciting day planned out, or an exciting devotion planned out. However, I'm going to go ahead and preface this, that this is a tough topic that we're going to cover, and we are going to be talking about bitterness and unforgiveness. And I encourage you that if that kind of gives you a weird feeling in your stomach, or you feel angry or upset and you don't know why, just continue listening, because God wants to bring freedom to us all. Amen and amen. So, before we hop into our topic on unforgiveness and bitterness, I just wanted to do a recap of this weekend, another incredible weekend at the North Georgia Revival and Christ Fellowship Church, where Christian and I are members at. We had the distinct honor of having His Name is Flowing Oil Ministry. They were there Sunday morning, or yesterday morning, and last night. And if you're unfamiliar or you have not heard of that ministry, that is the ministry that has the Bible that has been producing oil for over 3 years now. And so, just a quick background, the owner of the Bible, Jerry, he found his Bible on the side table after his grandkids had left, thought his daughter had put something in his Bible. It was right in the middle, near Psalms, and it was wet. And so the next couple of days, over the next couple of weeks, it transpired and it started producing more oil. And then eventually they had to put it in a container. And now currently it's producing between 14 and 18 gallons of oil in a week. And so one of the cool things is last year, on Good Friday, right before Easter, they were planning a big outreach to the church services, and the Bible in one day produced 16 gallons of oil. And some of you may be thinking, oh, how can a Bible produce oil? It's a hoax. It's not real. Well, I can tell you it's been sent off to two different labs. Both of them came back saying that it's not man-made, that it's 100% oil. One lab said that the healing properties are off the charts, and all essential oils have some sort of healing, or they have some rating of healing. And they said that this oil is just off the charts for the healing properties. And then another lab came back and said there's absolutely no healing properties, that it's just oil, it's just zero. And what the revelation that Johnny, the one who preaches when they go out, Johnny is the preacher, Jerry is the Bible owner, what he has been revealed to, or had the revelation of, was that it's not the oil that does the healing. It's our faith that unlocks and supercharges the oil to go and do what only God can do. And that's what, just an incredible, incredible time we had yesterday. We had we gave out to the letter M last night for people to be baptized. And so every letter we give out 20 letters each. So if I did the math correct, we were over 300 people that wanted to get baptized. I don't have a final number just yet. So I ended up getting home at 2:30 and was finally able to fall asleep around 3, but I did not want to miss our time together this morning. And so another one of those special moments was I was actually able to be in the pool in pool 2 and help baptize. So I was able to lead and interview and just pray for people in the pool last night. And we just saw incredible testimonies. We had a few people actually received their prayer language, and they started praying in tongues right there in the pool. And then we baptized them into fire. We saw a marriage restored. They got in there and said, listen, we need a new marriage. And so we prayed for them. They confessed some things that they needed to confess to each other. And by the time they were done, they were just filled with joy of the Lord. And it was just incredible, special time. And I know I talk about it every Sunday morning, but guess what? I will not be found guilty for not telling people about the move of God that is going on in Dawsonville, Georgia. I'm not going to be found guilty. I am not going to get to Jesus. And he says, Cody, why did you not tell more people that I was meeting my bride? I was meeting my people to satisfy the needs, to fill them exceedingly and abundantly. Why did you not tell them? He's not going to be able to say that to me. Now, he can ask you when you get there, why did you not go to a place where I was when I was only 10 to 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes from you? We baptized someone last night from Nebraska. So there was someone from Nebraska last night. We had someone fly in from Austria. And that story was just impactful. They had been to every doctor. The wife has a stomach disease or an intestinal disease, and she's been to every doctor. And she heard about the night that the oil and the water were both going to be there. And so they flew over. They wanted to get there for the morning service to have both, but because there was a delay at the airport, they weren't able to make it until last night. So just incredible moves of God. Again, if you have not been, I will personally host you. I will save you a seat. If you'd like to get baptized, I will be able to reserve a letter for you. I want to serve you. I want you to meet God. Amen. Amen. All right, so let's hop into today's topic. We are talking about unforgiveness and bitterness. Unforgiveness and bitterness. The two words, the two emotions, the two whatever you want to call them, that the enemy uses the most against us. Now, you may not believe that right now, but what we're going to do is we're going to dive into what the scriptures say. We're going to dive into looking about how the enemy works. And then we're going to get released from bitterness and unforgiveness if you so want to. Because bitterness and unforgiveness, we'll just go ahead and hop in. In Hebrews 12:15, let me just read that to you. I have it pulled up here. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, which corrupts many. So the whole thing that God is after this morning, and he was after this in the pool last night, is bitterness and unforgiveness. There was a man that had cerebral palsy, and he's had cerebral palsy for 20 years. And he said, I just want God to fill me with fire, and I want him to heal me. And so we prayed for him, but he was about to get out. We baptized him once. And then Holy Spirit said, he said, Cody, ask him if he has bitterness and unforgiveness. And he stopped and he looked down and he said, yes, I have bitterness and unforgiveness towards my mom and my wife. I said, brother, God cannot fulfill what he needs to fulfill. He cannot forgive you. That's what it says in Matthew. Let me pull that scripture up. And then we're going to talk about what all this means. So in Matthew 6:14, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. So bitterness and unforgiveness, they go in hand. If you have unforgiveness towards somebody, typically bitterness is going to come in with unforgiveness. And so what God is after, he says, I want to free my bride. I want to free them from things that have attached to them, the bondage that they're in, but I cannot do it until they release the bondage to somebody else. Now, when you have unforgiveness, and we'll just stick with unforgiveness now, we'll deal with bitterness later. But when you have unforgiveness to somebody, what we think in our minds, and I am no different, when I was growing up and early in my faith, I had unforgiveness towards people. I had unforgiveness towards a pastor that I didn't feel was doing or acting the way that God would want him to act. I had unforgiveness towards him. But what happens is we feel like we have control when we hold that unforgiveness. Oh, I am not forgiving him. He wronged me and he is not living to the Bible. He is doing opposite of what the Bible says. And so when we take on unforgiveness, we take the gavel, we take being the judge into our own hands. And when we have the gavel in our hands, it means that the great judge, God Almighty, is not able to forgive us because we have picked up the gavel. We have picked up the gavel and we want to hold the judgment against somebody else. Now, I explained my personal hurt and my unforgiveness there. Now, a lot of you that are listening or that are watching, you may have a situation that happened to you that you had no control over. You may have had something terrible happen to you. You may have been taken advantage of physically, emotionally. You may have been hurt by someone close to you and your family that was supposed to protect you. They didn't take care of you. You may have that. You may. And you may feel like there's no way that you could forgive them. But you have to. You have to. Because what is happening is you are being trapped in bondage. The number one way that the enemy works and operates is if he can get us to walk and operate in unforgiveness. Now he knows what the law says. He knows what the word of God says. He knows the Bible better than you and I do. How do I know that? How do you know that, Cody? Well, go and look at when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. What did the Bible, or what did the enemy do to Jesus? He tempted him with word, and he did that with Eve. Did God really say you couldn't eat from that tree? Is that fruit really bad? He makes us question. He knows the law. He knows the law. And so what he'll do is he'll say, well, I want you to have unforgiveness towards somebody. And because you pick up the gavel, now God says, because he cannot break his law, the Bible says that he cannot lie. He can't break his law. And so if it's in the Bible that says he can't forgive you until you forgive somebody else, that's what that means. It is not a gray area. It is black and white. If you don't forgive somebody, he can't forgive you. Hear me. He can't. And so those that are listening that have that unforgiveness and you maybe feel angry right now, maybe you feel like, gosh, why do I feel like this? It's because there's something there that you need to deal with that God wants to take from you, but he will not take it from you unless you lay it down. You've got to take the gavel out of your hand and say, I'm done. I don't want to be the judge anymore. I don't want to have someone's life in my hands. I lay my unforgiveness down. And we're going to cover how to confess that. We're going to get rid of unforgiveness today. But that's just one of the instances of how the enemy works, because he knows the law. And I was telling this man last night, I said, the enemy operates inside the legal system in the courtrooms of heaven. So the easiest way for me to explain this is that a police officer, okay? How many of you have met a police officer? You've been pulled over. Probably the easiest one to be pulled over. I see likes and comments coming in. You've probably been pulled over for speeding, okay? Now, there's other laws that you can be pulled over for that you may or may not have known. For example, I got pulled over probably 2 years ago now for texting and driving. Now, I did not know that it was a statewide thing. Actually, it was before it was even implemented, or at least advertised heavily, where they went to a hands-free driving state in Georgia. And so I was using my phone. But the police officer pulled me over and he said, well, I saw you operating your phone. And I said, well, yes, I was. And then he came in and said, well, you were operating a vehicle with both headphones in your ear. I said, well, I didn't know that was illegal. I had no idea. How was I supposed to know that riding with two headphones in your ear was illegal? He said, well, it's code, statute, whatever. I said, okay. So he gave me a warning for that, and I got a ticket for texting and driving or using my cell phone while it's supposed to be hands-free. Now, I tell you that story because the enemy knows every single law. He knows the word front and back. He is going to use the word against us. The Bible says that he stands accusing the brethren. So he is going to accuse us for anything that he can accuse us for. And God's hands are tied unless we repent and we confess and we release it. Are you following me? Are you tracking with me? What I'm telling you is going to set so many of you free from the bondage. Even though I did not know that the two headphones or headphones in both ears was a law, I was still responsible for knowing that. So part of what we need to be doing is we need to be in the Word. We need to be able to have the Word so we can combat the enemy the same way that Jesus did. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he met the enemy with the Word. He was questioned. He was tempted. Or tested, rather, and then he responded with the Word. For men shall not live on bread alone. He always referenced back his Father's Word. And so we can go back when we go through our confessions at the end, and we're going to remind God of his Word where it says, Lord, I forgive this person. And because I've chosen to forgive him, I ask that you forgive me. And now what happens is you are telling your defense attorney, Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross and now sits at the right hand of the Father, petitioning for you. He is pleading to God, saying, no, this one's mine. Save him. This one's mine. Now what we do is now we can let the defense attorney say, all right, you heard Cody's confession. Now the accuser is silenced. The enemy is silenced because he doesn't have anything to accuse us of. Amen. Amen. I hope this is making sense. It's making sense to me, but I may have to do another deep dive with just focusing on unforgiveness. But now let's turn to bitterness. Okay, so going back to what it said in Hebrews 12:15, bitterness is poison. So bitterness is poison. Not only does it bind us and have us in shackles to the enemy because we have bitterness in our heart, but it's also poison, and the poison spreads to other people. Have you ever met somebody just walking around maybe Walmart, or maybe you have a coworker in your office where, you know, you're having a great day. Maybe it's a Friday and you're like, oh, it's Friday. I get to go do something fun this weekend. And then someone just comes along with bitterness and they just take the wind out of your sails. They're like, maybe you feel like, what is wrong with that person? What just happened? It's bitterness. It's bitterness. It's poison. And it poisons those that are around you. So if you have bitterness in your heart, and we all know what bitterness is. I think we do. Bitterness is just, it's bitter. It's not being pleasant to be around. It's having a chip on your shoulder. It's easily offended. It's, why did he say that to me? Now you hurt my feelings. And it's easily offended. That's what bitterness looks like. And it's poison, because if you're walking around with bitterness and you continue to drink that poison, then all of us, it can't help but come out, and you're going to poison somebody with the words that you're speaking and the way that you respond and the way that you act when you're around them. This is another way that the enemy operates profusely. If he can get us to walk in bitterness and offense, then again, bitterness and offense can lead to the unforgiveness, and then the unforgiveness, now we're back in chains because we don't want to release somebody. We don't want someone to go free for the actions that they did that were unfair and unjust against us. But the Bible is very clear, and if we look at what Jesus did on the cross, there is no way that I could ever be good enough or ever be justified enough or ever work hard enough to deserve what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He knew every single time that I was going to commit a sin and all the sins that I'm going to commit going forward from this, even today. He knew. Yet he still said, I forgive Cody. I forgive you. I'm still going to go to the cross for you, even though I know what you're going to do to me. part of what we need to do, beloved, is we need to act like Jesus. By the way, what was the second to last thing that Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross right before he died? Does anyone remember? It's profound. And Holy Spirit just brought it to me. It's not part of what I had written down. Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. Jesus, that was put on a crown of thorns, that was lashed 39 times, that was forced to carry the cross, that had nails driven through him, that he had to hold himself up with the sheer power and muscles. Jesus, the second to last thing that he said was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus Christ did it, we need to be doing it, beloved. There is nobody out there that has lashed you 39 times. Yes, they probably have physically mistreated you. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. It really does. I was molested. I know. It breaks my heart. But we have to be like Jesus, and we have to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Beloved, if you want freedom, and you want peace, and you want joy, and you want love, and you want hope, and you want long-suffering, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, if you want all that, we have to walk around in immediate forgiveness. We have to be like Jesus and say, I forgive them as soon as it comes. Because we're not immune. You've been walking with Jesus for any kind of time now. You know that stuff is going to happen. Bad things happen to good people. We talked about that last Monday. But we have to have the attitude of immediate forgiveness. And when we have immediate forgiveness, now the accuser that's standing in the courts of heaven can't accuse me of having unforgiveness or bitterness towards anybody. We are automatically clearing our name. And because we confess, now remember, Jesus died on the cross as our defense attorney. So now as soon as our defense attorney hears us confess it, now he can cancel the assignments that the enemy has against us. Are you following me? All we need to do is forgive. Release them. I just feel, man, I feel a heaviness that someone is releasing or is going to release something huge today that you've been carrying for a long time. And it's overwhelming you. It's borderline depression. And because you're listening to this, you're choosing to do one of the hardest things you ever done, which is forgive. But I stand and I applaud you and I encourage you and I cheer you on. Do it. You can do it. I had to do it. My wife had to do it. We've all had to do it. Jesus had to do it. This is good for you. This will help you. This will set you free. Do it. So I'm going to lead you in some confessions. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to say, I'm going to pretend that you are right in front of me. And we confess with our mouth, like it talks about in Romans 12, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ. We have to confess. We have to be able to have an audible record of saying that we have forgiven or that we need to be forgiven or that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we need to confess. So I'm going to lead you through a confession as if I'm sitting right in front of you. So I'm going to lead you in small parts. You say it out loud. And then after we're done, it's broken. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that the pain's going to go away immediately. There's a parable or there's a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. And someone asked him, Jesus, how many times do we have to forgive somebody? Seven times? And Jesus responds, seven times 70. So it's a continual process. It's a continual choice. Just because we forgive somebody today doesn't mean that the enemy is going to try to bring back thoughts of what the wrong that they did to you, because he wants to get you back in bondage. Okay, listen. So we're going to clear our name. We're going to be able to confess to our defense attorney, Jesus, and we're going to tell him that we release this person and we forgive this person. But the enemy wants, he's going to send fiery darts back to you to try to grab back into the unforgiveness and bitterness. Okay, so you're going to forgive him. And if that thought comes back, when the thought comes back, you say, no. I take up my shield of faith. I have forgiven that person. I forgive him, and I ask that you bless him in the name of Jesus. Okay, that's what spiritual warfare looks like. It's you taking the armor of God and you deflecting what the enemy has intended for your harm. Amen. So repeat after me. Father, I thank you for being a good father, for loving me, for saving me, for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me. Lord, I know that your word says in Matthew 6:14, that if I forgive men that trespass against me, that I will be forgiven. And I know your word says in Matthew 6:15, that if I don't forgive those that have hurt me, that I won't be forgiven. So Father, you know how hard this is for me, and I ask for strength to do what I'm about to do. Lord, I ask that you would forgive whoever you need to. Do not do a blanket for I forgive everyone. We need to be specific. So, Lord, I forgive. And if it's more than one, take your time. Father, I ask that you would forgive them. I repent for having unforgiveness towards them. Lord, I ask that you would bless them. Lord, I forgive them, for they know not what they do. I ask, Lord, that they would encounter you today like they've never encountered you before. And I thank you for forgiving me. I love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So that's what a prayer to get rid of unforgiveness looks like. That's it. But you are confessing. You are reminding Father of his word. And then because of your confessions, Jesus is now able to record it in the courtrooms of heaven, and now the accuser silenced. So what I would recommend that you do is, as many people, and some of you may have a lot of unforgiveness. I've come across people that have just, they have a hard, stony heart because they've been hurt so many times. And their heart is just, it's devastated. So you may have more than one person. Like I said, the guy last night had his mom and his wife. So there was at least two people. So what I would suggest that you do is, after you listen to this, sit down, have quiet time, pray, and ask Holy Spirit to bring to you anybody that has offended you, or maybe that you have ought against. And you write them down. And then you just say that simple prayer. And then you release yourself from it so you can be forgiven. Amen. So now what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and we're going to break off that root of bitterness. Amen. All right. So Father, I thank you and I praise you for being Abba Father, for being my Father, for knowing my heart, for knowing my thoughts, and knowing my intentions. Lord, I confess that I have bitterness in my heart. Father, I know that your word says that bitterness is like poison, and it will spread to those around me. So, Father, I ask for forgiveness for having bitterness and for being poisonous to your sons and daughters. Lord, I ask right now that you would come and take bitterness from me. And I want you to just grab at your chest and pull it out. Pull out the bitterness. Father, I take out this bitterness and I give it to you. I choose to no longer harbor bitterness in my heart. And Lord, as I took out bitterness, Father, I replace the fruit of the Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you would bear much fruit through me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, I thank you for giving me the fruit of your Spirit. I love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's it. Confession. Confess. That's it. It's that simple. It's that simple. Our confessions do so much damage to the enemy. We take back so much territory that the enemy has taken from us when we confess. That's it. That's it. Beloved, he is good and he loves you. And I guarantee the people that you've forgiven, God will meet them because you released them and now he can meet them. Amen. Amen. Well, let's close in prayer. Another 30-minute video. Praise God that his word is being preached and that deliverance is being brought to the captives, because that's what it says in Isaiah 61. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the honor and the glory. We give you all the honor and the glory. Father, we thank you for this word that was released today. Lord, right now I dispatch angels to protect the seed that was released. Lord, I pray that there would be a great harvest, a 36 year, 100-fold return from this word that was released today. Lord, that you would water it with your word, that you would water it with the forgiveness that was just released. And Lord, that you would wrap your arms and you would just envelop those that just confessed the unforgiveness for the very first time and the bitterness for the very first time. Let them see you today in a way that they've never seen you. Father, I thank you that you are faithful and just to forgive us. And I thank you, Jesus, for being our defense attorney and for silencing the accuser. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that we take up the armor and we are able to battle the things that we are not able to see and that we wrestle against. Father, we love you and we praise you. We give you all the honor and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If this helped you, praise God. Praise God. It's a tough word, but I'm telling you, there's freedom. There's freedom here. We love you. We will see you next Monday. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you soon.